On Thursday night, dozens of people gathered at Casa Maza, at Park, just north of Montreal, for the opening of Movements in Manila. This photo exhibit was prepared by Stefan Christoff and sponsored by the Center for Philippine Concerns. The photos themselves were a journey through areas of the Philippines where Christoff was stationed in 2007. He went along with a delegation of activists from around the world to observe the midterm elections in the Philippines. Folks were stationed at different districts where political repression and killings were expected to take place. Sa gitna ng dilim, ako ay nakatanaw ng ilaw na kay panglaw, halos di ko makita. Welcome to Casa Maza, and this is a photo exhibition on movements in Manila that capture urban landscapes from the Philippines and also look at social movements in the country. Philippines does not make it in the news much in North America. However, it is one of the most dangerous countries in the world for journalists. On top of that, there has been systemic political killings targeting progressive activists, union leaders, student activists throughout the country since 2001. And that's when the current president, Gloria Macapagal-Arroyo, came to power, who was an ally of both the Harper government and was very close also to the Bush administration in the United States. Laura Cliche, a University de Montréal master's student, also spoke at the event on Thursday. Just last fall, she went to the Philippines with the International Federation of Journalists as part of an international mission after the mass slaughter of over 50 journalists.
Tonight we can ask ourselves, how much is worth the truth? Is it worth a word? Is it worth a picture? Or is it worth your life? Many times for Filipino journalists, whether writers or photographers, bringing you the truth can cost their lives. And on November 23rd, 57 lives were taken, including the one of 32 journalists, and 12 of them were from my organization. I was working for a whole generation of media workers was swept away in one day. But none of them deserved to die. It was for sure a major story for them to cover. A local politician was filing his certificate of candidacy against the powerful Impatuan clan. And powerful is really the appropriate word. Given the nature of Philippine politics, where clans and dynasties often turn into warlords supported by the president. The Impatuans have more than 5,000 soldiers. They have guns that can shoot down airplanes. They have helicopters. No peasants can go against them. But for all the drama of someone going against the Impatuan, none of the journalists would have thought they would get killed. They were traveling in a convoy of 6 cars until they were flagged down on the national highway in broad daylight. And so were 2 other vehicles that just happened to be there. They were just part of the traffic. The cars were herded up from the highway onto a dirt road that led literally to nowhere. It was an empty clearing. It's actually known to be a really beautiful place. There, all 57 passengers were slaughtered and thrown into mass graves in a really systematic manner. It was, first of all, bodies, then cars, then soil, then bodies, then cars and soil for 6 layers. Press cars were no guarantee of safety. Neither was gender or pregnancy. 2 women were pregnant. So facing the catastrophe, the National Union of Journalists of the Philippines, which I was interning for, sent out an appeal for help. It's a scandal that 2 months after the massacre, only one person is being tried and prosecuted in court, when authorities say that more than 100 men were part of the massacre. Police officers and members of the army were part of the murderers. And this is without saying that the backhoe that was used to dig the mass grave was government property. And it means that in a small place where everyone knows everyone, there's 99 men that are murderers that are roaming around completely free. They have no fear of being arrested. So how scared would you be? This is no surprise, though, when you see how the investigation was made. The police had first only one mission, to get the bodies out. There was no priorities for autopsy or finding evidences. On Christmas Eve, the sinister number of 100 killed journalists was reached when a broadcaster was shot in his home. So the Ampatuan massacre is only different by the scale, but it truly represents what Filipino journalists fear every day. It's a planned and cold killing. 80% of them are killed in peaceful zones, so we can't say it's crossfires. It's only because they're doing their job. So, and it's also considered as the first election-related violence and the election zone in May. We can only expect the worst for the upcoming months.
To capture the feeling in Manila, to capture the realities on the ground and the urban landscape, document a community called Smoky Mountain, which is an urban poor area where the community actually lives in a garbage dump and make their living sorting, collecting, and burning garbage. For example, taking tires, burning away the rubber, and then selling the metal for its weight. And so in our context in Canada, I feel almost guilty conveying that story without saying that despite that circumstance, what I noticed and what was really important for me was to see the profound dignity and determination that people had in Smoky Mountain and across the Philippines, and that dignity and determination to struggle for change. And I think for me, it was really inspiring to be there as a community organizer, as an activist. I'd never seen a situation where social movements composed so much of the populace, in the sense that the organized progressive left in the Philippines is very strong, a totally different political reality than we have here in Canada. So for me, that was really inspiring to see how organized and effective social movements who are struggling for change were against incredible odds. And I think that we in Canada have a lot of lessons to learn from organizations in the Philippines who are fighting for social justice, organizations like Bayan. The first is Laura Cliche, who was at the Université de Montréal and was in the Philippines this past fall and documented the massacre of journalists that happened in the southern province of Mindanao.